arises out of docket number 59060 in a case entitled McLaughlin versus State, and it concerns an order to show cause that was issued against Attorney Waldron. Is Ms. Waldron in the courtroom?
Yes. Couldn't hear you. This is Murawski.
No, the first case is McLaughlin. The second case is Murawski.
Okay. So I'm Walker.
Correct. You're going second. So please be seated, and we'll address this case first.
Your Honor, I'm Jim.
Thank you. Please approach. For the record, Justice Seda is a part of this panel, and she is unavoidably out of state today. So while she's not in attendance, she will review what is said today, including the affidavit that you provided, and participate in the deliberations that we undertake after we listen to what you have to say. The court entered an order to show cause because of its concern with noncompliance with the rules and orders of the court. And we wanted to hear from you what your account was of your reasons for not complying with those rules and for the many delays in this case. So now is your opportunity to address us on those issues.
Okay. May I start?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Your Honors. I think this situation demonstrates two things. First of all, I don't recall getting any notices by way of email. And in fact, I did check my email because I am an e-filer. I did check my email for the dates referenced in the order of the various orders that went out. I checked both my inbox and my junk email and did not find the notices referenced. This last notice was faxed to me, and I did receive it and did respond to it with the affidavit that was requested by the court. I can tell you that I've had one other instance that I referenced in my affidavit where the court has made the same sort of request of me, and I followed through timely with no problem, and that was a Brazel matter. I can tell you that I've had another case in which the appellant filed pro per without consulting me after his trial and does not want me to proceed, has written actually threatening letters to me that if I don't give him his discovery so he can proceed on his appeal, that he was going to send his family members to my house, or to my office. And then I just received an order from this court, from signed by I believe it was Justice Cherry. That just took me off the case and reappointed another lawyer. It was an order to appoint another lawyer. And I didn't even ask for it, and I'm not quite sure how it happened that all of a sudden the court just took me off and put on someone else. And all the cases that I'm referencing are all court-appointed cases. So the two issues that I think this demonstrates, first of all, is noticing by e-filing only. And I talked to the person that runs my computer system, and he indicated that it's probably a spam filter that threw out these emails for some reason, and I don't know why. I don't understand computers that well to know why. So that's all I can say. I've looked through my emails and have not found any of the notices referenced. And then the second issue would be...
Before you go to the second issue, Ms. Waldron, I'd like you to specifically address whether or not you received by email a conditional sanction order on or about September 15, 2011.
I looked and I did not see it.
Did you?
In my inbox and my junk mail and my archived mail.
And how about March 7th, 2012?
I did not see that as well. And I looked in all three of those areas on my computer.
And
the last notice was faxed, and I got that.
Okay. And you consulted with someone indicating that they didn't see it in your computer system either, someone that you work with?
I couldn't hear you.
You consulted with a third party, a computer tech?
Yes, that runs my computer system.
And your comment is in your affidavit, but did you provide any information from your computer or from this individual to support that?
No, I didn't. He's present, though, but... today, but I didn't have an affidavit from him.
And his name and the offer of proof from him would be?
If the offer of proof would be that he believes that the spam filter, which is, we subscribe to AVG, which is a program that captures viruses, and we subscribe to some other programs. I don't know all the names right now because I'm kind of nervous, but that filter out what appears to be junk. And sometimes it filters out something that's pretty darn important and it's not junk, but for whatever reason, it seems to think it is.
Have you been able to fix that problem in your computer so that our mail goes through?
This case, this situation has brought it to my attention that it must have filtered out something very important, so what else?
But going forward, have you fixed whatever spam guard is in place that is preventing Nevada Supreme Court mail from getting to you electronically?
No, I'm having him look at it right now since this came to my attention through the faxed document, which was only a week and a half or so ago, and I'm having him go through the computer system, and I went through, and that took quite a bit. I get, as I said on my affidavit, 10 to 20 emails a day, much of which is junk.
Ms. Waldron, did you apply to the court to be an e-filer, right?
Yes.
And are you still using e-filing to file documents with the court?
I didn't on this case with my affidavit. We hand-delivered it because I didn't want any kind of problem. But I intended to continue as an e-filer.
Would you agree to withdraw your right to participate in the e-filing program until you certify to the court that this problem has been fixed?
That's fine. Yes, we'll hand deliver like we used to.
I mean, e-filing works for most people, so I'm sure it is a fixable problem. It's not a permanent issue that we're discussing on that.
Right.
But it does need to be fixed. The other point that's of concern to me is waiting until you receive a conditional sanction order from the court to meet a deadline that is self-executing. The rules specify when things must be done by.
Mm-hmm.
And it's of concern to me that even with the e-filing problems, internally, this case had been filed in August of 2011. And nothing transpired until we summoned you here in May of 2012. And there should have been internal deadlines that were coming up and met without this court's need to prompt them. And let me just elaborate on that a bit. We are the busiest court, I think, per capita in the United States at the Supreme Court level. And it's very difficult for us to track every deadline and send orders to show or conditional sanction orders to counsel. The idea is that counsel should initiate meeting the deadlines ahead of receiving an order from the court. So I would encourage you to try to tighten that up as well.
Yes, Your Honor. There is one thing that I think this demonstrates, though. The fast track rules dictate that the trial lawyer is the person that runs the fast track. And what do you do when you disagree with your client that there is, in fact, a legitimate issue to bring before the court? I'm liable to get sanctioned for bringing a frivolous claim. And when you know, in your heart, you know, you don't have a claim in this particular case. We had a trial. I don't see, in my professional opinion, I didn't see a legitimate issue to bring before you. The things that were discussed, I didn't believe should come before you. And yet, having said that to my client, he goes ahead and files it himself. So now he has filed it against attorney's advice. Sometimes they file it without consulting, and I can find an issue if that's the case.
Are you saying in Mr. McLaughlin's case that you didn't know until May of this year that he'd filed the appeal?
No, I didn't know. I knew, and as I got to trying to figure out, okay, what's the issue?
You knew that the appeal had been filed back in August, didn't you?
I eventually found out. He didn't consult with me.
When did you find out?
Probably in September of whenever. Whenever the district court gives you notice that an appeal has been filed.
I think my colleague's point and my point, Ms. Waldron, is this. When you find out that there's been an appeal filed, you know that you have an obligation to this court to handle the appeal.
Yes.
Even if you believe that there isn't a meritorious claim, you have certain filing responsibilities to satisfy with this court. There was no communication with this court at all until we send you an order to show up here today and waste all of our time some more. Don't you think you have an obligation to file something with this court in connection with a fast-track appeal, even one that you feel has no merit? You know that it's been filed and there are deadlines to satisfy.
Well, what I'm asking of this court is, what do I file? Because
you meet the requirements of the rule. You make the request for the transcript. You do the things that you're supposed to do under the rule, none of which happened. Or you file a motion with us that at least asks to be relieved as counsel.
Okay. All right.
I didn't do any of that stuff.
I was in a quandary, basically, because...
So we're all supposed to just sit around and wait?
No, Your Honor, and I apologize for wasting everyone's time, especially here today. However, in the situation I found myself in, I'm like, what part of the transcript do I even request? It was like a five-day trial. That's a huge amount of work to put the court reporter through. And for what? You know?
The problem that we have here today is that your decision was to opt to do nothing. You didn't notify us of the quandary. You didn't make any motion. You didn't follow the fast-track rules. That's why you're here today, Ms. Waldron.
I understand.
So what do you think the court should do?
Well, as you said, first of all, with respect to the e-filing, let me get it straightened out and confirm with you that it has been before.
So you would stipulate today that you should be dropped as an e-filer, a qualified e-filer, until that's sorted out, right?
Yes, I'm not quite sure what you're looking for in terms of a certification. But
well, a person shouldn't be an e-filer with this court if they can't assure us that their own system can receive our responses back to you. Would you agree with that?
That's true. I don't think
unless that's been satisfied,
any problem with me getting things to you, but as of this case, it demonstrates that I had a problem of getting things from you to me. Right. So,
created by your system, not by the courts.
Yes.
Okay. So until you can demonstrate to us that the e-filing system works both ways, it seems like you shouldn't be an e-filer. Would you agree with that?
I suppose so. I'm just trying to figure out what I can tell you, how we can demonstrate that it works.
Well, between you and I, with the possible exception of Justice Pickering, who knows a heck of a lot more about computers than I'll ever know, you and I wouldn't know what the answer is, but I suspect the gentleman back there can help advise you.
Oh, yes. He knows far more than I do about...
Certainly more than you and I can figure out.
Right.
But until that's been demonstrated, you shouldn't be e-filing.
Okay. Well, I agree.
And then the second component is, you can't just do nothing, Ms. Waldron. You got to do something. So what should the court do? Should it just maintain a fast-track case on its docket in perpetuity?
Well, first of all, I'd ask that I be relieved from this case, perhaps a new set of eyes looking at what happened.
I think you need to file an appropriate motion.
Okay.
This is not the proper forum for that. You need to file a proper motion.
Well, and that's one...
Your defense to the order to show cause today is, I was in a quandary about what to do. That's what I hear you saying.
Well, two things. First of all, I didn't receive the notices from the court, and if I had, in a quandary or not, I would have filed something. I don't know what at this point, but I would have filed something. Probably would have consulted with some of my colleagues who do more appellate work than I do, and at this point, I'm certainly going to request to be relieved, and in the future, I will request to be relieved if I find myself in this situation in the future. And it's not so uncommon to find yourself in the situation where you disagree with your client's wishes on filing an appeal.
When was the last CLE you took on fast-track appeals?
Pardon?
When was the last CLE you took on fast-track appeals?
It's not recent.
Okay. That's all the questions I have. Just
I have nothing further. We will deliberate with one another and with Justice Seda and determine what to do from here. But I do commend to you the prompt certification with your IT person, coordinating a way that court mail goes both ways so you can get back on e-filing with the court. And also reviewing the CLE available and the fast-track rules that apply and internal calendaring guidelines that should be in place that should have avoided the need for us to start sending conditional sanction orders, whether you got them or not, through your system. So you will receive a further order from the court, and that's all for today. Thank you for coming, and thank you for your candor.
Thank you, Your Honor, and I apologize for having this have to come up to you today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next matter on calendar concerns the case docket number 60011, Morawski v. State. And it is also the subject of an order to show cause to counsel Robert B. Walker. And Mr. Walker, you were in court earlier when we called the matter. We just concluded. And as I said, for the record, Justice Seda is the third justice on this panel. We will deliberate with her following today's session, and she will participate on the written record and the transcript or tape of this proceeding. So be assured you're not being subjected to a two-judge panel. Rather, there will be three.
Right.
And today is similar to what we just went through. It's an order to show cause why you find yourself in this situation of receiving serial conditional sanction orders and not complying with them.
Well, I received, after Mr. Morawski filed his notice of appeal, I received the notice from the court, so I knew he'd filed an appeal. I didn't file the rough draft transcript request because I already had the transcripts, and I didn't pay attention to the rule that said I had to let you know that I wasn't going to be requesting transcripts. When I got your order conditionally sanctioning me for not requesting the transcripts, I filed the certification that no transcripts would be requested, but I neglected to put the deadline that you set for the appeal on my calendar. Now, I'm not offering that as an excuse. That's just what happened. I knew that his appeal was due around the time that you set, and I didn't meet that deadline, and I have since filed the fast track statement in the appendix and a motion to allow late filing, and I explained in there the reason. And again, I know this isn't an acceptable excuse, but I'm going to tell you anyway if that's okay.
Depends what you're going to tell us.
Well, I'm a private attorney. I have my own office. I'm the only one in my office besides my secretary. And I'm on the Carson City Conflict Panel. There's three of us. And we get a lot of work that covers a lot of different things. I'm, like this morning and this afternoon, I'll have two hearings this morning in the juvenile court on 432B cases, just reviews. I have another one this afternoon. Yesterday I was in court on a couple preliminary hearings that, as it turned out, they didn't go, but that didn't happen until I got into court. And what happens is there's three conflict attorneys, and we're appointed on very short notice sometimes. Yesterday I was informed at 11 o'clock that I had to be in court at 2:30 for a preliminary hearing on a charge of felony child abuse. And I went to court, and we continued the hearing, but it still required a court appearance. And I'm finding, since the first of the year, the number of appointments and the number of court hearings has increased a lot. I think right now I've received about 60 appointments, and most of these are drug cases, but there's some that are much more serious. I I have a voluntary manslaughter preliminary hearing coming up in the first part of June. The felony child abuse. Last year I did five jury trials, but only four of them were conflict trials. And they didn't last a long time, but, you know, some only a day. The longest one, I think, was 3 days. But it takes a lot of time to get ready for these things. And I don't feel that I waste the court's time on the trials. One was an acquittal. Another was an acquittal on one count, a conviction on another count. One was a hung jury, and one was a conviction.
I appreciate the challenges of running a private practice. I'm relatively recently in private practice myself, and I understand those challenges. Our intersection is narrower with you, though, and that is the court has rules and deadlines, and the court, too, is extraordinarily busy. All of the cases you're describing, if someone is unhappy with them, they bring them to us.
I understand that.
And we have a problem when deadlines aren't met because it puts an additional burden on this court and its staff to process cases under the rules that it's really counsel's duty to process and meet the deadlines, not to wait till you get a notice from us. What I'm interested in hearing, and I think Justice Hardesty is as well, what are you going to do to improve your internal calendaring system that we don't need to keep saying, we are not your calendaring system. You are.
I would hope that you would accept the explanation that I've been in practice since 1977.
Must have taken the bar together.
This is the first time that I've been called on the carpet for not meeting a deadline. Now, I've been late. I've been late before, and I'll bet you on almost every case, with the exception of this one, I filed motions for more time because right now it's just a very busy time and it's very difficult to meet the deadlines that are set on all of these cases. This case, I'll admit, I tended to put it to the side because even for an appeal that, you know.
You're going to articulate grounds why you should be relieved from an obligation to pursue this appeal, I feel your client should get notice of that in a motion. So if that's the argument that's being presented, I would just caution you that you should file a motion with copy to your client.
I'm sorry, a motion for what?
If your argument is that the appeal that is being filed has no merit, that is an argument that needs to be made in writing and a copy sent to your client.
I filed the appeal. I filed the appeal, and that it's what it is. I put the points in that he wanted to make, and I stated the law that applies, and I made the argument that he asked me to make. I'm just saying that there were other things, and I hope I'm not sounding insulting to this court, but there were other things that kept popping up that needed my attention right now, and I neglected to file a motion for more time. That's what I should have done, and I didn't do it. Once I realized I was past the deadline, I thought, well, I'll try to get this filed before, you know, they send me another order, and I just couldn't get to that point.
Mr. Walker, have you been, have you paid any of the monetary sanctions referred to in the orders?
Have I what?
Have you paid any money in, for the sanctions that were referred to in the orders?
The first order was withdrawn, so I haven't been ordered to pay any money. I expect I probably will. Mm-hmm. I would ask, though, that you take into account the fact that this is the first time this has ever happened to me. I don't know why we didn't get it on the calendar. I know why I kept running out of time. I know that that's not an excuse, but I would ask that you forgive me this time. I did set everything aside, and I went ahead and I completed the appeal. I just filed it on the 16th. And the fast track, I mean the appendix, I filed a motion to have the pre-sentence report sent up under seal, and I filed a motion for an enlargement of time. And I don't think there's any more for me to do on this case. You know, I've done, I guess, over my career, thousands of cases, and I usually get pretty good results. And I think the judges in Carson City have been very satisfied with the work that the conflict panel does, all three of us. We don't get complaints from that court, those courts. And so all I can tell you is, you know, I missed the deadline, and I should
have. Mr. Walker, have you ever been sanctioned by a court before?
No.
And would a sanction from this court jeopardize your continued participation on the contract count, panel?
Well, I think if it was a monetary sanction, I don't think it would. If you decided I can't practice in front of this court, I think they'd have to relieve me because that's part of the contract.
Sure.
And, you know, I don't know how many appeals I've done over the years, but it's probably 40, 30 or 40.
Mm-hmm.
I know what the rules are. This case, you know, it's funny how when things go wrong, sometimes it happens in the same case, and that's what happened here. And I think I generally do a good job. Last year I did a fast-track statement in that Big Pond case that I didn't like the result I got, but I thought I did a fairly decent job, and it created some new law, although not the law I was anticipating. But I try to do a good job, and I'm conscientious, and I think if you ask the people, and I'm sorry, I didn't bring affidavits, I didn't bring people to tell you this, but this is, I would say, a fairly isolated event. It's not isolated that I run late, but I try to do as good a job as I can with what I have to work with. And I tried to do that for Mr. Murawski. I spent about 3 days last weekend and this week going over everything again and writing the brief. And I tried to write it as accurately as I could. You know, the legal argument is brief, but that's just the way the case turned out. And I think I spent several hours trying to figure out the new formatting, which I guess I didn't do on the last one I filed, but it got accepted.
I appreciate your candor and sincerity. I really do. We're trying to end the culture of people waiting for a conditional sanction order from this court before action is taken.
I know.
So what we're trying to do is work toward that end.
What I would ask you to do, the embarrassment of having to come before you today is really, I think, the most effective sanction you can impose on a lawyer. If you feel that you can't excuse me without a sanction, then I'd ask that you make me pay something. $500 is pretty steep, but that's what you threatened me with, and I didn't follow through with what you ordered me to do. So I would ask that it be no more than $500, and I'd ask that you allow me to keep practicing here. And I enjoy being on the conflict panel, and I try to do a good job, and I think I do a good job. So I don't really think there's anything that you can order me to do that's going to make me more effective as far as calendaring things. It's just that it happened. And most of the time I get things on the calendar, I show up to court on time and I get things filed on time, or I get, you know, additional time ahead of the deadline, and this time I didn't do it. But it's the first time, so that's
very
all
well.
I can say.
Do you have anything further?
I don't have anything further, Mr. Walker, and I did, I agree with you. Your advocacy in Big Pond was excellent.
I'm sorry?
I don't have any other questions, and I agree with you. Your advocacy in Big Pond was excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So I'll be getting an order.